St. John, that strange man in raiment of camel's hair and leather girdle, will not bend. He will not succumb to the pressure of men, and he stands in that awkward context when representatives of another church body, the Pharisees and Sadducees, come to him. It doesn't matter to him what they think or how they feel or what they want or desire or wish. What matters to him is the truth. And so he tells them that the axe is laid to the root, and the barren trees will be thrown into the fire, and the chaff will be consumed with unquenchable fires. This is not some game. This is not some philosophy, some intellectual distraction. This is the truth. And for John, you'd better get with it or be destroyed. He will not scratch their itchy ears. He will not lie to appease their feelings. He will not water down the reality of the coming judgment, gloss over their differences, ignore the false doctrines that lead to despair and death. He will not trivialize the word of God. And so it is that he preaches fire and brimstone, hell and damnation without apology. He preaches it because they need it, because it is necessary. He preaches it that he might point that bony accusing finger at his cousin and say, "Behold the Lamb of God that takest away the sin of the world." And for this perfect charity, this ultimate compassion for the truth, he will lose his head. It will cost John his life. It will hurt. But in exchange, he gets a crown. And that's worth it every time. The one mightier than John doesn't just preach about fire, he brings it. He baptizes with it. For he is the whole burnt offering, consumed in the righteous anger, forsaken by his Father, roasted in the fiery wrath of God for sins that he did not commit. He baptizes into his death. For it is that agonizing, unnatural death that is the life of the world, and that is what matters. And that is what unites men. This is what it means that the one mightier than John baptizes with fire. It means that he baptizes his whorish, unfaithful fiance into hell's fires, into judgment, damnation, into his death, that he might make her his bride, pull her out of those flames, be united to her, take her in his arms, declare her virgin, pure, chaste, immaculate, unblemished, without shame or regret or past, without guilt. He does it for love. He does it because that's what they need, what we need. It's what is necessary. And thus, John's sacrament, like John himself, is a bridge between the testaments. It is the sacrament of John the prophet, of repentance and death. But it is also the sacrament of absolution, of birth and resurrection. It is the sacrament that stands alongside, contemporaneously, with the bloody sacrifices of the temple, and that still stands alongside of the bloody Eucharist poured out for us. It circumcises our hearts. It separates us from the pagans. It marks us as a people. And at the same time, it dissolves distinctions of race and sex. For in baptism, in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female. It does not rightly belong to either the Old Covenant, circumcision, or to the New, the Holy Eucharist. In heaven, there will be neither circumcision nor Eucharist, but we will still bear his name, belong to him, be righteous. We will always and forever be baptized. Along with those brothers and sisters of ours of the bloody circumcision baptized in the Red Sea. So baptism is not old and it is not new. Baptism is the. It is the covenant. It is the promise. It is the bestowal of God's grace that makes a people of those who were no people. It is the terms of unconditional surrender issued to a rebel army that God meets in himself on our behalf. It is the deliverance of the cross and the empty tomb here in time. It is God's word applied. It kills and it makes alive. Let the axe fly, John, for in him who has suffered the Father's flame for us, we are ready, we are eager. In Jesus' name.